Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're having a pretty serious dinner party.
Yeah, I'm getting really hungry.
it's going to be tough because we have, an old school menu is maybe nine or so courses. So
yeah,
we have spread this over this Sunday and next Sunday's program. So
we're going to need a lot of time to do this.
To do
and
it,
you're
going to
need some time
detail.
To cook it.
Yeah, and to organize wines for it. So,
mm-hmm.
It's going to take more than a minute.
We're heading into first course now.
Exactly right. So everyone's seated at the table. They had a cold hors d'oeuvre standing up. They had a hot hors d'oeuvre when they first sat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an amuse-bouche, just a
little bite.
Just a little something to.
And now we're moving into a soup course.
And you talked about possibly passing a soup. If you're going to pass a soup, and you're going to sit them down to a soup, you have to think about how different they would be in the sequence, right?
Right. So if I passed a soup, it would probably be something, a vegetable soup, maybe a potato and leek soup, or something that's bright and fresh.
More
and
delicate
most likely,
in flavor.
Yeah, and most likely cream-based. So I want my first course to be a consommé, because I want everyone to try to make a consommé once in their life, because it's such an amazing experience. Cooking, because you have to clarify, consommé is a clarified broth.
So steps in making the consommé.
You have to make the broth, the stock, and one of the things about making a stock for consommé is that it has to have no fat. So once you've got to be religious about skimming your stock as it cooks, making sure that you keep removing the fat from the top, that it's on the slowest heat. One bubble bursting every second is all the faster your stock can go, because that way you're not emulsifying the fat from the bones back into the broth.
This is not boiling. Is there a resource or a recipe for stock, whether it's a beef stock, chicken stock, veal stock?
Oh, many resources.
But is there a best one that you like to use?
Well.
Or that you used? Or you would refer people to?
I would refer people to. I don't know. I should just write a recipe down and put it on the website. I'll do that. And, I'm sure there are plenty of, Jacques Papin probably has one. I'm sure Julia Child has a beautiful recipe, so you could
those
reference
are pretty
those.
Great references, yeah.
And Anne Whelan as well, of course, and any of her books. So once you've made your stock and you want to put it in the you want to strain it and put it in the refrigerator, which will also allow whatever fat is in the stock to rise to the top. So you remove that from the top of the stock, and then you put the stock in the pot. And what you're going to do is make what we call a raft. It's called a raft because it rises to the top of the soup. And the whole idea is you have to have egg whites, and you want protein in there as well, because you want to sort of fortify the flavor of the stock. So let's say we're making chicken consommé. We have a chicken stock. It's going back onto the stove. It's cold. We're going to bring it up to a boil with all the ingredients of the raft. So it is, let's say for 1.5 quarts of stock, you would do 3 egg whites and 3/4 of a pound of ground meat. So it would be ground chicken meat. And you just basically and also I always put a little bit of chopped up mirepoix in, so carrot, celery, and onion, just a little bit. So you would just have that ground meat, grind your mirepoix. You could even do it in a food processor if you wanted, so it would be fine. Mix those things together with the egg whites in a bowl. So you'd just kind of whisk it all together. You put it in with the stock. You turn your pot up to high, and you bring it up to a boil, basically. And what happens is, as it comes up to a boil, all the impurities start to cling to the egg whites as it rises to the top. And as it rises to the top, it will form, as we call, the raft. And you want to poke a little hole in the center of the raft, so that you want to be on the slowest of simmers now once the raft rises. And you want to allow that little bit of bubble to pop through that hole in the raft, because you don't want your raft to break up. This is a very technical thing. You're going to need to probably look this up. And again,
there's got to be some excellent video of it to watch.
There probably
right
is
now.
An excellent video. Anne Whelan's books, her La Varenne cooking course book has a great recipe in it. So, this is something. And as the raft has risen, it's about 30 minutes cook time. All those impurities rise, and then you just either remove your stock through the hole in the raft and strain it through cheesecloth and a chinois. And then one of the old tricks is to use paper towels and to get any little last bit of fat off the top of that consommé. You just kind of lay the paper towel on top of the settled consommé, and it'll just pull some of that fat off the top.
So the point is to have that really pure flavor of the stock without any texture essentially at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And has good depth of flavor without a lot of weight.
Right.
So that is, you know, that is an elegant way.
It's a beautiful light course.
So what's, if we're serving oysters first, we're obviously doing it in cold weather months.
Mm-hmm.
So what garnishes in that consommé would you like to have?
I was thinking artichokes. You could put a little bit of fresh artichoke in the bottom. Again,
well, that introduces the first bitter note to the menu. So that's
I think artichokes, and you could even put a little bit of chicken confit meat in. So, you know, when you've made that stock, you've got to have bones. You might as well buy the chickens and go ahead and confit the leg meat and lay a few beautiful pieces of confit leg meat in the artichoke and a little bit of it, something aromatic. So maybe finely chopped fresh chive in the bottom. Or again, chervil. Of course, if you have a little bit of truffle peeling, you know, that would be lovely in there. So a little bit of truffle in, or the traditional garnish, custard royale for consommé royale is a little flan, basically, which is cream, eggs, and salt that you make in a water bath in the oven. You would cut that out and put that in the center, and you could pour consommé
the soup
around,
over that.
Which is so beautiful because you have this consommé that doesn't have any fat, and in the center sits this custard that's all fat, basically, and just really beautiful and elegant and silky, velvety on your tongue. And one of the things that's very cool about consommé royale being, of course, royal, or thinking of kings, something that was maybe made for a king, that if you could manage to find some gold leaf, and maybe you can find it online somewhere, and just take a little paintbrush and just pull out a little tiny piece of gold leaf and lay it on top of that custard and then pour the soup around. I mean, that's very fancy and very beautiful. So that would be a pretty garnish.
That's pretty serious consommé. Business reward to feed someone gold when they come to your house. Good Lord.
Hey. So what are we drinking with that?
I was just
that?
Thinking, well, it depends on the garnish and the consommé. You know, if you're making a chicken consommé with the brown chicken stock, so that has a deeper flavor and a sweeter flavor. I like the idea of a bitter garnish or a woodsy garnish. If you're going to have a sweet shellfish as the first thing you sit down to of some sort, then whether it's, honestly, the wintertime, a lot of times you get marvelous mushrooms, whether they're hedgehogs or black trumpets or something like that, but something that will really develop woodsy flavor, then that's going to take your wine in one direction. If it's an artichoke, it's going to take it in another. The reality is that wine with something like a consommé is almost blocked. There's really, the consommé, it's almost like that sort of, like, you have menus where you have a salad that is a palate cleanser with very bitter greens or a strong vinaigrette or something. There's no companionable wine that's going to make the dish better, or the dish is not going to make the wine more interesting or something like that. If it's really about the consommé, then it's the consommé, and there's not something to be paired with that. Cream soups, depending upon which direction they go in, richer soups, you know, that's different. But a consommé, it's such a delicate note and such a particular note, and the alcohol doesn't really do anything to enhance the enjoyment of the flavors, I don't think. I've not found a successful pairing. Maybe the closest thing might be, like, for the artichoke, like a Fino sherry that was very cold to give you hot and cold contrast, and another savory, bitter sort of note and a little bit of an acidic note. But the alcohol is maybe too strong in that for that consommé.
Well, so that would be nice because with a sherry or would Madeira work? Because I would want to put maybe a touch of Madeira in my consommé. So, you know, if I didn't put it in,
if you're doing the chicken leg garnish and the stock was really rich, then maybe Sercial Madeira. You know, again, chilled a little bit. But I worry about. I think I'd rather in a menu. I'd rather have the punctuation of the consommé as a singular note.
Okay.
After having two kinds of bubbles with the first couple of things that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fun thing about consommé is that is something you can actually do ahead. One of the struggles about doing a menu like this is there's an awful lot to do a la minute or the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you are bouncing around in your sparkly apron.
Yeah, you don't want to work too hard.
You may not want to be killing yourself. The consommé could actually be produced ahead. The garnishes could be prepared ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it's just a matter of heating
putting
the consommé and warming the garnishes and serving it.
And always be very careful with your pot that you're heating your consommé in. You want to make sure there's no residual fat from something that you might have made in there. You want to make sure trace amounts. You literally should probably even wipe out that pot with a little bit of white vinegar before you put anything in it, just to make sure that there's...
One of the great things I have in my house, you're talking about consommé, that I love, 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 are little double-handled soup cups that have a gold rim from my grandmother. And I would love to serve a consommé with the garnish in the bowl and the cup warm slightly and the garnish warm already in the bowl, and then serve the consommé with a silver pitcher at each place setting.
That would
pour
be
it
nice.
For each person over the garnish so they can enjoy the aroma of the the consommé and how it interacts with the garnishes. I think the idea of serving that as a course is a pretty pure moment. I don't think it requires a, this would be the one time in history I'll say it doesn't really require wine.
Yeah, I was surprised that you said that. So just an alternative to a soup course, I think you could do a Torino foie gras. I think that would be something that if you...
As a second richer cold hors d'oeuvre.
Yes, yes. Or even eggs and aspic. So I think that's one of those old traditional dishes that it would be really challenging.
An egg course, that's awesome. I mean, that's something that, and you can just keep rolling with your champagne too, because that's about the only thing, champagne, Chablis, it's about the only thing it's going to work with.
And that process is very interesting. You have to have molds. You would poach your eggs. And
by molds, you mean like one of those big old funky copper molds that you see on the 1971 Julia Child cookbooks
exactly.
on the hanging in her kitchen or something.
Or individual ones, which is what I prefer. And there are oval individual molds that you can buy. And, you have to make aspic, which means you have to have clarified stock. So here comes your consommé.
So you're making the consommé anyway.
Right. And you might as well use it for something else. And because it is an awful lot of work, and you add gelatin to your consommé. And in the first bit you do in your mold is you put one very thin layer of the aspic in, and you put the molds in the refrigerator. So you've got your starter layer. And now on top of that, you're going to start to build your garnish.
So you get that first layer chilled and solidified.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull it back out of the fridge, and then you start layering in garnish.
Right, how many times am I going to say truffle? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay, you're not allowed to use truffle in this course.
All right, so little flowers made out of thin pieces of carrot. All right, so you can just, kind of figure out how to do that. A little bit of leek as the stem, or a little bit of chive as the stem, and then maybe you cut little leaves out of the outside of zucchini. I mean, how much fun is that?
So a little composed vegetable garnish.
Right, and then you would you have your poached egg that you would trim any excess or not pretty white. So you've poached your egg, you've shocked it in ice water. You've got to handle it very, very carefully because you do want that yolk to still be runny. And so you clean up that, and then you've put your flour garnish in. You had to put another very thin layer of aspic. You had to put it back in the refrigerator. Now you're pulling it back out because now you're going to put your poached egg in. And once you push the poached egg in, then you completely cover that with aspic, put it back in the refrigerator, and now you have an amazing course that people are probably going to be pretty astounded by.
And so then you just unmold it onto...
Onto the plate, right.
Or onto that's one thing you could do on a
tray.
Big lavish old fashioned serving
platter. That would be very pretty.
And you literally just use like a cake, cake wedge to slide underneath there and put it on their plate.
Exactly, and a little extra aspic jelly cut up and around makes that tray very pretty and sparkly looking.
Just cut up into cubes.
Right, and one of the ways you get your aspic mold out is just drop it for a moment, and I mean a moment, in warm water, and then they turn out usually very nicely. But you have to be very careful because obviously you don't want to
do it too long and the whole thing turns
gonna,
to pudding.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be pudding, all right.
So I'm getting excited about this, the oysters, and then the warm scallop, and then the eggs and aspic. I like the idea of that very much as an even more fun use of the consommé and something people would not always see.
Right.
The thing about that is that something you could potentially do that as
day
ahead.
Oh, you can make that the day ahead. Absolutely. Yeah. This is a lot of work to do this dinner, but you can work on it for a couple of days ahead, and once you go to put it out, some of it's going to be very easy. So that helps with some of the courses that are not as easy to put out.
So do you want to do a vegetable course after that or go right into a fish course?
I think into a fish course.
And you've done shellfish early, so you don't mean shellfish, but you mean a fish course.
I do. And again, we're doing an elegant dinner, and I don't know anybody that doesn't like sole. So, and that's such an old-fashioned fish.
Sole is such an a la minute thing. To do sole
so
for
beautiful.
A lot of people... Mm-hmm. correctly is super challenging because how many pans do you have to have?
A lot. You'd have to have a good-sized stove.
So you need to have a lot of burners available.
Right.
And a lot of the same sort of pan to cook your sole.
Yeah, these are the people that are lucky that have the 6-burner because you'd want to have all 6 pans going. And this is tricky. You're going to have somebody in there helping you. There's no way one person can do this unless you're a professional cook.
Is there a fish that's not sole that has to be done individually in pans that could come out?
Mm-hmm.
For let's say you have a dozen people or 16 people for this party,
I think it would be fun to do a whole side of salmon, and or you could do turbo in the turbo pan. You could do that, but I think a whole salmon, we're finally dropping a little bit in price. You know, you buy a great piece of fish, but, you know, if you poach that in a courbouillon, which is aromatics, and so a little bit of carrot, celery, and onion,
so
bay
poaching
leaf thyme,
a whole side of salmon.
Yes, poaching it in white wine. You know, you're putting the side in. It's covered in cheesecloth, so you would wrap the whole fish in cheesecloth, season it a little bit ahead of time, and just lay it, tie it up, and lay it in that poaching liquid, shallow poach. That would be a beautiful course and something you could do in the oven. Now you're off your stovetop and giving yourself some more space, and then bring that out and do some sort of classic sauce, a mayonnaise or an aioli or any cold
hollandaise.
Sauce or hollandaise, which would be lovely.
I mean, that
lovely.
Would be because you would just use, it's just like almost like a cake turner that you would slice that salmon with.
Well, that would be a much easier course. You know, if you're doing a smaller dinner party, if you don't have 18 people, if you have 10 people, I think you could probably get away with doing the sole. And I was going to suggest doing a little bit of breading on it. You can do it two ways. You can either just do the classic dish where you do lemon brown butter and capers, and, you know, you're just sauteing the fish, lightly dusting with flour, or not. You don't have to put the flour on, but that it is nice to get a little bit of a crust on the fish. You would saute it in a neutral oil like corn oil. So you're sauteing, which means a little fat. High heat. You want to brown the fish, and then you would saute it on both sides, and you could start putting them on a sheet pan and just pop them in the oven, you know, if you're quick enough and you've got those last two or four fish to do, you know, those, you know, if you've got an oven at say 200, you can just hold them in there and start to cook more fish. And then you have your sauce made ahead of time.
You're getting me excited with the fish now, and I want to propose wines for that and also an alternate fish course. We're going to have to do that when we come back on Formidable Phone Food and Wine.